I think that without doubt, the most striking true story that I heard this year was about Jesse Owens, the great black athlete from Atlanta, who humbled Hitler's athletes in the Berlin Olympics in 1936 as he won gold after gold in the sprints and the long jump. You may have seen the old black and white film, in fact, of Hitler storming out of the stadium and refusing to shake hands with Owens after he had beaten his Aryan athletes. Well, after the Olympics, Jesse Owens returned home to Atlanta in the deep south of America, and a huge civic dinner was put on his behalf. After all, Owens had put Atlanta on the map. He was their most famous son. At the dinner, Owens was the guest of honour. So he was presented with this award and then applauded. But then, and this is amazing, he was sent out of the room. For the civic leaders of Atlanta did not want to be seen to break social convention and eat their dinner with a black man. So that's what happened. It's ironic, isn't it? The guest of honour gets his applause, is given his award, but is then sent away. And I suppose my great fear is that we can do exactly the same at Christmas with Jesus Christ. We can fall for the temptation of honouring him here on Christmas Eve, giving him a bit of a clap, but then sending him away for the rest of the year, for the rest of tomorrow. I say that because 10 days ago, you think, well, that was a miserable thing to say, Rico. I say that because 10 days ago, I was speaking at a carol service, and as a young guy was leaving, he said to me at the door, "That was great. What you said actually really struck me. You know, I've made this my yearly service." And with that, he was gone. And I think he thought he was encouraging me. I wanted to commit suicide on the spot. And, you know, as I came back on the tube, I was just thinking, I mean, he was trying to encourage me. And as I came back on the tube, I was thinking, you know, if only I could sit down with that guy and really unwrap the gift of Jesus Christ, he would never make it a once-a-year service. And that's the agony of being a clergyman in this country. The agony is that you know that there are millions of people in the land, and there is a present for them. There's a present, and it has their name on them. And it is sent by God, and it is there under the tree for them to unwrap. And year after year, it is left unwrapped, and they're wrapped up under the tree, never looked at, never handled, right through their life. It's an agonizing thing, and it's something that we're not going to do tonight. We're just going to unwrap the present of Jesus Christ, unwrap this wonderful gift that he is to us that's on display in John chapter 1. Let's just have a look at it now together. And the first aspect of God's gift to us is actually our lives themselves. Let's see that in verse 3 as we look down. Because the first thing about this gift is that we've been given life. He is our creator, verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Can I ask you, what are the best things about 2001 as you look back? I mean, what are the best things? The things that were the best memories. The things that happened through, as you look back on the year, that you thought, well, there were some great moments. That was a time that was a moment of great joy. I'm so grateful for that. Well, what does this verse say? Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. It was from him. He is the creator. Do you know, for the past 200 years, Western man has attempted to explain the world in terms of impersonal physics. So I wonder if you know the adaptation of this well-known nursery rhyme. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, I don't wonder what you are. You're the cooling down of gases in the shape of solid masses. And the result of this worldview is that millions have thought themselves to be in a cold, mechanistic universe in which men and women have no inherent value and life has no ultimate meaning. We're just bits of DNA floating in the universe, no one to be thankful for. I only admit this to you because Richard is ill. I'd never admit it if Richard Buse was well. But please don't watch it. I regretted watching it. But I watched Pulp Fiction, the Tarantino film. I'm going to get sacked for saying that. But I watched the film. My brother wanted to watch it, so I watched it with him. And it was at Christmas. And I just remember watching it with him. And, you know, in the middle of the film, John Travolta, who's the hero, gets shot in the toilet. And that's the end of him. He's just suddenly gone. And there's another bit in the film when suddenly They're in a car, and a guy in the back of the car accidentally gets shot. And the reaction to his death from the driver is, look what a mess you've made of my car. And you see, the issue there is that they're just bits of DNA stranded in the universe. Because there's no creator, these his creatures have no meaning. They're worth nothing. They just mess up a car if they die. But here, John gives us the key to life. A key which tragically so many have thrown away, and that's what Tarantino illustrates. And he says the ultimate explanation of this world is not a scientific formula, but a creator God. And the creator God is Jesus Christ. Through him all things were made. So Jesus is the agent of creation. I don't know how big your vision of Jesus is this Christmas. How big is that vision? But let me try and enlarge it for you. The next time you look at the sun, maybe we'll have one of those wonderful winter mornings tomorrow and we'll feel its rays. Please remember that it weighs approximately 2,000 million, million, million tons. Please remember that within our galaxy, the Milky Way, there are approximately 100 billion stars. And the nearest sun to our sun is 25 million miles away. And please remember, as you think of all that, that all of it was made, verse 3, by Jesus. That is how big he is. He is the creator. Or again, as we look back at this verse, through him all things were made. That means human beings were made. Do you remember the Bupa advert? The Bupa advert. Your heart beats 100,000 times a day. Your bones are as strong as cast iron. You give birth to 100 billion red blood cells every day. Your brain is the most complex structure known to man. Your eyes can distinguish up to 1 million color surfaces. Your lungs are big enough to cover half a tennis court. You have 60,000 miles of blood vessels running through your body. Your skin is constantly replacing itself. You are amazing, and your creator is Jesus Christ. How big is your vision of Jesus? And tomorrow, when you give and receive gifts, can you say under your breath, this is all from Jesus. It is all because of him that I can give and receive. Tomorrow morning, as the presents are received and undone, can you give thanks to him? And not be like the people in verse 10 here, you see. If we look down verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And you know, the word for recognize there in the Greek is a word that actually means purposely push away. It means cut you dead. So that's like walking along Oxford Street, someone you see, and they know that they've seen you, you know that they know who you are, but they purposely ignore you. That's what the world has done. It has cut Jesus dead. Don't do that in the morning. When you unwrap your presents, think of him. He is the creator, and our hearts should be full of thanksgiving this night. But you may well then ask, well, what is he doing, this creator of the world, becoming a baby? If he created the sun, if he created the universe, what's he doing becoming a baby? And the reason is that he is my savior. Now let's just try and, that's our second point. He's my creator, our second and final point. He is my savior. Now, I wonder, unashamedly acknowledge as we get to this point that the creator becomes my savior and in doing so becomes a baby. I want to say that obviously this is totally miraculous. You cannot be a Christian and not be a believer in the supernatural. This is totally supernatural. The creator of the universe comes into the world and becomes a baby. As one writer has put it, it's like this. It's like your landlord becoming your lodger. It's like the managing director becoming the office boy. It's like Beethoven queuing up for one of his concerts. It's like the headmaster getting detention. It's like Picasso painting by numbers. And God, who made human beings, who made them all, verse 14, becomes flesh. Do we see that? Let's have a look. The Word, verse 14, down at the bottom there. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And in the Greek, that is literally, he pitched his tent among us. He came to live among us. So Jesus, the creator of the universe, becomes a one-cell embryo in the body of a young Jewish girl. He leaves the splendor and glory of his heavenly throne, and he comes down, down, down. Week 6, an embryo no bigger than an apple pip. Week 7, no bigger than a small grape. Week 8, about the size of an average strawberry. The Spirit becomes flesh. The Eternal enters time. The All-Powerful becomes as vulnerable as a baby child. And Jesus walked on this earth as a human being, though he was God. So when he was cut, he bled. When he was crucified, he bled. When he was hit, he was bruised. He wept. He sweated. He becomes man. It is just extraordinary. So as Augustine says, filling the world, he lies in a manger. He that made man was made man. And if we want to see and know God, then we look into the face of Jesus. I don't know if you know God. Do you know God? Do you know your Creator? He's made you, but you know him. If you want to know him, you look into the face of Jesus. Well, that's what happens at Christmas. God becomes a baby, but the question is, and we finish with this, is why? Why does God become a baby? Why does he become a child? Now, the Bible always explains these things. Why is that? Well, you see, at Christmas, the good news, the great news is, the thing that makes sense of him becoming a baby is that he comes to die. Right from the start, he's given the name Jesus, which means that he will save his people from their sins. It means that we will be saved for the times that we have hurt one another, the times that we've hurt God. Now, you see, the world says, live now and pay later. That's the message of the credit card on Oxford Street. Do you know that in this country, every second this December, do you know how much has been spent on credit by people living in Britain each second? £7,020 is spent a second on credit. That's how much is spent. And the message is, spend now, pay later. Jesus, as he comes as a baby, but then comes to die on a cross, he says, I will pay now so that you can live later. That is what happens. I'll pay now so you can live later. He says, I will pay for your sin here as I die on the cross, as I'm born to die, so that you do not have to pay in hell. If you want to, you can pay in hell for your sin. But he says, no, my blood was shed so that your blood did not have to be shed. He says, my body is broken so that your body doesn't have to be broken. And it's as though on Christmas morning, he walks up and he gives us a check. And the check says, my life for your sins, signed Jesus Christ. And that is why here on Christmas Eve, all over the world, Christians all over the world take communion. So we remember his birthday by remembering his death day. Have you ever seen the irony of that? We remember the birthday of Jesus, the day he was born, by remembering his death. It's because that is the gift that he brings. He was born to die. And the way we realize that we need that gift is in verse 5, if we can look down. How do we know we need the gift? Here it is. This is what makes us see we need it. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness. That's what happens. That's how I see I need this gift. Jesus, the life, the light of man, shines his pure light into our lives and into our hearts. He gives light, verse 9, to every man and woman. And actually, can I say, that is a most unpleasant experience to receive the light of Jesus if you are a sinner. It's actually outlined in our carol. Can we see it? We just sang that carol, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, verse 4, in the little town, the verse 4 of O Little Town of Bethlehem. Bishop Philip Brooks knew the experience. This is what happens when his light shines. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. You see, as the light of Jesus shines on our gossip, we realize that we must let him pay for it before we pay for it ourselves in hell. As the light of Jesus shines on our self-seeking, we see that we must let him pay before we pay for it in hell. As his light shines on our angry hearts, we see that we must let him pay lest we pay for it in hell. As his light shines on our jealousy and envy and lust, we must let him pay for our sin before we pay for it in hell. I don't know. Let's look back again on 2001. I don't know what you look back on. And actually, we've looked back on the things we're most grateful for, but what are we most ashamed of? What are the things that we're most ashamed of? Where do we most feel self-loathing and self-disgust? Well, let's let Jesus pay for that. And as his light shines, as his pure light shines, what has to happen to us now is that we say, Lord Jesus, I need your gift of forgiveness. I must have your gift of forgiveness. Lord God, please give me that gift of Jesus' forgiveness. For God says to us, you are wicked, you are helpless, you are desperate, your sin will take you to hell, but I love you. And here is the gift of my son to rescue you at Christmas so that you need not perish, so that you can be forgiven. So let's come now and let's look back, and I reckon there'll be some things, if you're like me, from 2001 that you are desperate to put behind you, desperate to confess. Maybe they're sins of last week, maybe they're sins of months ago, but bring them now into the Saviour's light, come to God for forgiveness, and as we do that, experience the amazing gift of Christmas, which is this little child that grew up and was born to die so we could be forgiven.